y'all were just like in the Sweden together.
Yes, oh, let's break the fourth wall so people know the timing of when we record our episodes.
Yes. Oh,
well, we're back. I'm back from Sweden. Well, you're still in Sweden, but I'm back from Sweden.
I'm in Sweden. So just to like where everyone is in the world right now, I'm in Sweden, but Sydney was here last week. Mm-hmm. And you were not in Sweden last week, but you were at Gen Con two weeks ago.
Yeah, I was at the Gen Con because we insert the before every location that we go to.
So, and that's in the Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Everyone got the COVID, according to my Facebook
timeline.
Yeah,
I'm shocked that I didn't, but I'm pretty sure. So there was an event that I was really tired and terrified of getting COVID, but because I was running games and working that weekend, I felt like I couldn't really press myself. And so I didn't end up going to this party that a lot of people I know went to. And everybody that I know that went to that party came back with COVID. And I'm not saying that it happened there. I'm just saying that, that those two things are true.
That's
and it's really tough. It sucks because like what people don't understand about being an actual play performer is that being at these events can be the difference between you getting a job and not getting a job. Yeah. And there are very few paid jobs in this sort of sector of performance. And so while you can absolutely insist that people mask up and be careful, like this, not just the performance side of things, like the entire industry has suffered in some way under the weight of the pandemic. Some of it's been fine, right? Because lots more people playing board games, all virtual tabletops have been popping off. Like there are aspects of it that have done great, but the things that depend on a like physical release at a show for PR and stuff like that, it's really rough. And not being able to make connections. And, you know, I felt like my marketing career in gaming has been almost at like a standstill for almost 3 years at this point. Now. But
until now.
COVID aside, though, did you have fun at Gen Con?
Oh my God. Yeah. I love how I was like, Gen Con, the end of the world. No, but it was great. What I will say is that like everyone I saw was like a joy to see. There were so many people that I haven't seen in so long. And while I wish that I had had like more freedom to go see people's shows or panels and things like that, I just had such a good time running D&D for strangers, which I was, you know, I thought I'd have an okay time doing that, but I just had the best tables that all really wanted to like dig into role play, which is weird at like a con. You don't always get that because a lot of times they don't know each other either. And so that's I learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself, a lot about like how prep is a lie and and you should just go with it. But yeah, running sessions that could only last 2 hours or less was like a huge lesson to me about like, I always feel like I need that 3 hour point. And I think, you know, prepping for shows like this helps because, you know, you only have like an hour to an hour and 15 to get somewhere. But that was like a new, that was 30 minutes less than I was used to make good things happen. Yeah. So, but yeah, it was great.
We were at the opposite end of Gen Con, but still in the same realm. We went to Medieval Week of Gotland, Sweden.
Oh my God, tell me everything.
It was so fun. Yeah. I mean, I think it's interesting to hear Sydney's point of view since she's American, but I will say in terms of COVID transmission, it was mostly outside, which helped. But then, of course, it didn't help that we had a one-year-old with us who would slather her snot in food and then feed us with that food. So amazing. I think Sydney got sick.
I wouldn't have it any other way. Junie feeding me little chewed up pieces of like blueberries. I'm like, thank you. This is a gift from the gods.
Yeah. Ambrosia.
Yeah. There's that meme. There's that like, I don't know, it's on Twitter or something, but it's like when a toddler hands you like a wet Cheeto as if it's the most important thing they've ever discovered. And they're like, I've got this for you. And you're like, oh my God. Where did you get? Oh my God.
Yeah. It came from my mouth. Why won't you accept it?
We don't even have Cheetos in this house. I do not know where you got this.
No.
But no, God.
Oh, no.
Gotland was really, really, really cool. I'd never been to Europe, never been to Sweden, obviously, but I got to see Ellie's, first of all, Gotland aside, I got to see Ellie's childhood home.
Oh my God.
And I met her parents, which was really nice. And
did that explain everything?
Okay, yes. And I have to tell you, do you remember? I was like, I have to tell Anne this. Do you remember? It was on the podcast, and Ellie was like, you remember when you guys were kids and you would play like steal the apples?
Yes.
And we were
yes,
like,
I've been through this what? Several times.
We were like, what the fuck are you talking about? And she went on this whole thing and she was like you'd steal your neighbor's apples when you're kids. And we're like, this is a Sweden thing. Like, we don't know what you're talking about. So as it turns out, in Uppsala, where Ellie grew up, and like all over the city and not just in the suburban area, there's a lot of fruit trees, like in public parks and gardens, and like everybody has access to like apple trees and mulberry trees. And it's actually mm-hmm. really nice. And I wish we did that more in the United States. But literally, you're walking down the street and the apple tree is growing out of your neighbor's yard, like kind of into the street past the fence. Mm-hmm. And I was just like jumping up and stealing apples, just taking oh, yeah. them. And yep. I'm like, I get it.
You too, at two, Sydney?
At two. I fucking get it, though. I'm like, they're free apples for the taking. There was a cherry tree, an apple tree. Like, there were so many fruit trees. And I asked.
If the apple is free, are you really stealing it, though?
That's a great question. If nobody if nobody hears, did I ever steal an apple? But it all makes sense. Everything makes sense. And also, in Uppsala, I got to see actual Uppsala from when we played in Uppsala.
From the Lost Mountain Saga?
From the Lost Mountain Saga, the famed Uppsala. And Ellie took me on a little tour. We saw the cathedral, like the...
Oh, that's so cool.
Crazy, beautiful cathedral, which is huge. I mean, ginormous. We saw the mounds. If you remember the King's mounds.
Oh, I'll never forget the mound
the
episode.
Mounds. Yeah, I got to feel those mounds. I got to walk up and down those mounds, in between the mounds. But no, it was just super, well, whatever. The mounds could be anything.
We crashed a funeral at the mounds.
Oh my God.
Which was the worst part of that story. But anyway, continue.
We went to see the church. At the mounds, like this old church. And we're like, ooh, cool church. And we're like, are they having like a mass or something? And we went inside and Ellie asked in Swedish. She was like, oh, could we like look around? Is there like a service happening? And the woman, smiling, I guess, said to Ellie, it's a funeral.
My husband is dead.
There's a funeral here.
Yeah. Please leave.
And Ellie was
thank
like,
thank you.
Ellie was like, oh, and ran back. She's like, it's a funeral. We got to go. We got to go.
Move, move, move.
But yeah, it was super fun and super cool. And I'm very gracious to Ellie and grateful for letting me crash with her and bother her for a week.
You guys were the best guests. Like, it's always tricky. Like, traveling, I think, is the ultimate test you can do with people. Like, it pushes you to, like, even living together is easier than I think traveling is. And we did a lot of travel. We went to Stockholm. We went to Gotland, which is an island outside mm-hmm. Sweden. I've never been. And it was basically going to a different country. Like, it's a different, it's a completely different thing from the rest of Sweden. Mm-hmm. It's very medieval. It's like going, I've been to Italy this summer as well for the first time. And it felt very similar to Italy in the way it's very preserved. And then it was, of course, Medieval Week, which was really cool. Like, for those of you who know Elden Ring, it looks like Elden Ring. Like, it's like ruins everywhere. Bunch of
so
very...
cool.
Yeah, and I think, Anne, you would really like it because I discussed it a little bit on my Discord, like the comparison to Ren Fairs, and I've been to a couple of Ren Fairs, and I think they are cool too. It's just the difference is that I feel like at Ren Fair, I'm an audience member. Like, I watch other people do a cool thing, and it's fun to watch them do that cool thing. Here, it felt like if you're not dressed up as the part of being a medieval peasant, like, no one wants to be a hero, so to speak. No one wants to be like the main part, and so you just get like whatever garb you can find, and then you join this immersive 3,000 people crowd who wants
that's
to just
that's so cool.
Yeah, like, you don't have to and you can sit in your corner and do your smithing, you can sit in your corner doing your knitting, and no one's gonna bother you with it, like, and you can just do your thing if you want, or you could be like the theater kid and also perform, which I did.
Yeah,
I did D&D.
You did, like,
Ellie,
I saw
show.
The pictures.
Yeah,
Ellie did her show in this beautiful cathedral.
Yeah, which was not a great podcast venue.
But unique.
It was so echoey. But it was unique. It was very cool. It was for Free League's new game, which is was released at the same time as D&D, and it's called, instead of, what is it? D&D stands for Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
and this game,
that is
this one is Dragons and Demons.
Drakkar Uch Demoner?
Demoner, yeah. Dragons and Demons.
I have my bracelet on.
Wild.
Yep. And Sweden would translate that into Dungeons and Dragons. Like, or, right, they would translate Dungeons and Dragons into Dragons and Demons. So it was a huge confusion. So people would ask me, have you ever played Dungeons and Dragons? And I'm like, oh, yeah, a lot, actually. But then when I started playing D&D, and I'm like, yes, a natural one. And everyone's like, what are you talking about? That's the worst thing you can get.
I love failure.
Yeah, exactly. So it's
it finds me like a magnet.
It was the opposite?
Yeah, you wanna get low in this game. Like, you wanna get the one. Number one is great, and 20 is the worst you can get. So it's already there. It's like confusing. But Free League is re-releasing this game, and so they wanted like a couple people playtesting it.
Yeah,
I played with a new group called Sweden Rolls, which means Swedes who are rolling dice. That's the
name. Oh, that's what it means. Oh, okay.
Oh,
I was confused.
And the GM for that, Andreas Lundström, made the official soundtrack for Väsen. So he's a really talented musician as well. And he was great.
Didn't
he was super
know
chill.
That. He was really nice. He actually like said hi to me after too, and he complimented Lost Mountain Saga and was just like, the show is great, and like Ellie's great. He was super, super nice.
Oh, yeah, he said really Ellie's show is great. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he said Ellie, Queen Ellie, who rules over all.
Award nominated Eleanor DiLorenzo, thrice over.
All right, we have not talked about it. I know we're bantering too much, but can we just say congratulations to Ellie, award nominated Ellie DiLorenzo, for Lost Mountain Saga. It's cool. It's cool as hell.
It is cool. Also, completely forgot that I think I not, like, I sent in our submission October 2020 or something. So I was like, and then, you know, suddenly
totally
I got
forgot about it.
Oh yeah, completely forgot about it. I also think it's the irony of being like best GM, everybody, and also Anne's taking over from now on. I don't want to do but
well, you
I
know
think
what? Yeah. There's always next year. No.
listen
amazing.
Where this goes, but
I'm so impressed with everything you do with the show. I like legitimately listen to our episodes, not just to remember what the hell we did, but because like it changed, like from what we experience, you guys out there listening have to understand that what we experience is even like, it's just different from being in the midst of all the ambiance and the care that Ellie takes to, you know, zhuzh things and take out stuff that, you know, wasn't relevant and stuff like that, so that you guys get a really clean and exciting show from top to tail. Is just, it's really fun to see the other side of that. So I definitely listen to our show because I think it's fun. I got in trouble at Gen Con though, because I was up early and I was like, oh, I should listen to the show before the day starts. So I started laughing at our own jokes and I got in trouble with my boyfriend, who was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm sorry, I was just listening to a podcast. He's like, is it Lost Mountain? I was like, it's not. Not.
Not.
Are you laughing at something you said? And I was like, yes.
No, but having said that, I don't think Lost Mountain would have been anything without the two of you. But also, so I'm a little bummed out that we didn't get like an ensemble award because, you know, I don't know. I think that's like what it actually deserves. I don't believe in best individuals of anything when it's a literal.
It's okay, Ellie. Effort. We're happy to be first losers as long as you're
that's true.
First place.
That's true. I like to surround myself with losers. Makes me feel better.
Well, let's see how much of a winner you feel like as we dive into this episode of
Ayo.
The Lost Mountain Saga and Other Sagas.
Ayo!
When last we saw our intrepid heroines, you all were seated at a table with the person you had come down to Cornwall to meet. You are in St. Ives, meeting at the Lovesick Siren with Captain Rayner, who has just offered to tell you about a proper monster.
Oh, yes.
So he sort of leans into the table to face the two of you, creating more of a like, conspiratorial attitude. And he says, "Lassies, me men and I returned to port nearly 10 years ago. I opened this place with my earnings and put my nieces to work. You see, they lost their mother and needed a way in the world, and I've been taking care of them ever since. So the lads have all made their own way about town. Igor still with me. He was my first mate on the boat. But we've all stuck together for the most part. And go ahead and roll an observation for me."
Mm-hmm. I'm quite observant, but still only one success.
So you're one observant.
I am incredibly observant, but today I am distracted
because I am drunk. Also got one success, perhaps because I'm also drunk.
Nice. Sick.
Are we drunk? Did we actually drink?
I made an off comment that we might be drunk because I have this idea that Irina is so troubled that she's always drunk, but I'm also like, is it gonna help me? No.
Is this going to make gameplay impossible? Yes.
Yes.
Well, I guess we'll find out. For now, what both of you notice is that he certainly hurried through trying to, like, tell you about his nieces and why they're there and is just plowing ahead.
Wait. Sorry. Nieces. So these waitresses, the ones that I'm already figured out are probably mermaids. Are they not his daughters?
They are not his daughters. They are his nieces.
Oh, they're his nieces. Okay.
Man, did I say they were his daughters? It doesn't really matter.
They referred to him as a dad, though. Like, didn't they say father?
I thought they said uncle, but it's supposed to, you know what? This is just like in your home games.
Yep.
Shit happens. They're his nieces. He describes them as nieces.
It's okay. Okay.
He is like a father to them in that he is taking care of them, but they are not his actual daughters.
I love it. Then it's going to be an awkward scene later when they're like, he's like, "Can you stop calling me dad? I'm not your dad." Yeah,
I'll never be your father. Not now, not ever. So you recognize that with your observation. And you also note that when he says we've all stuck together for the most part, that doesn't entirely ring true. Yeah.
Interesting. And his first mate is also someone he claims to have adopted-ish.
I mean, he doesn't claim to have adopted him. He just is still right there, first mate by his side, both in work and in retirement. And he continues on and he says, unless you have anything you want to interject here.
Well, he said that he was going to talk about monsters, but does everyone else seem like they are on board with that? Like, does everyone here have the site and are on board with it? Or do we feel like we should talk with him privately about this?
That's up to you. He seems pretty, like, okay to talk at the table with, like, all the other excitement that's going on around them. But you're more than welcome to ask for privacy if that's what you would like.
I'm just thinking, I mean, they are from the Rose House, and we are kind of operating in the shadows, and we don't want everyone else to hear, like... I think Irina doesn't want to get Rose House or herself in trouble, so she...
I think also Vanessa being, like, the more, I don't know, like, observant, quiet type in general, I think she's taking note of the way that everybody, like, revered him when he came down the stair. You know, like, everyone seems very enamored by him, and... also experiencing Irina with this like weird thing she's doing with her like wearing a mask in front of her and stuff. She's like, I want to talk to this guy alone because he's putting on a show for whoever. Like it could be for us, it could be for the people. But she's like, I think perhaps it would benefit us to talk in private, no?
All right. So both of you are interested in that. And Igor, sort of like nods in agreement and he says, sorry boss, you are playing a little fast and loose with all this information, don't you think? And he says, no one cares what an old man thinks, but fine, if you all want to go, we can go to the cellar. He says some of the girls are upstairs. So he pushes back from the table and begins sort of greeting people as he passes by, still in that, just changing on a dime from like, I'm going to tell you a horrible story to like, hey, is everybody all right over here? You got your food, you got your drink. Ah, yes, Marina, come over. They need refills, you know, as you move through the room. And if you follow him, he begins taking you through a door that's underneath that set of stairs you had seen him come down, that goes down into a cellar area, the sort of back of house.
It's lovely, she says, dripping with sarcasm.
Yeah, you it smells like beer. They're just barrels and barrels and barrels down here. It's a little dank and musty, but it is quiet and private. And he sort of leans against the wall and waits.
Irina
for you guys.
Takes out a handkerchief. Pats her nose. Yeah. Why don't you start from the beginning?
Well, we came home from being on the cat's paw, and then we retired. And everything was fine for almost 5 whole years, but everything changed when old Pikey died 3 months ago. You see, they found him out by the dockmaster's hut at low tide. Body bloated like it'd been tossed about like by an angry sea. Puncture wounds all about his neck and his shoulders, his belly, and that was when we noticed him, watching on the rocks. Sea lions. Scores of gulls and birds. And at first, it was just nothing. But they always had sort of a mad flair about them, flying around and great packs and shouting down the beach, and they were easy enough to chase off at first, but the children in town have grown fond of playing in the bay at low tide amongst all the small fishing boats as they lay on their sides in the sand, and playing catch and ball and chase, and well, they've grown afeard when they do wander off into the beach, when they do wander off down the beach into the water, a jellyfish been stinging them when they are at the edge, and every time we chase off these animals, they come back and in greater numbers. And one mother reported that one of these sea lions grabbed her daughter's skirt and began dragging her down the beach like a maniac towards the big blue, and they cut her free. But well, folk have grown more careful now. And then Peter and Brian, who'd been deckhands with us, they started coming in to the establishment, talking about horrible dreams, songs that tormented them, memories of a terrible storm that we had at sea. The fellows that sailed with us, dead in the water, water that ran blood red when the light fell upon it from the flashes of lightning. And always they found themselves deserted without food or water on some strange island, dragged down into the depths by some terrible beast they could not see. And each of them, they were killed on the following 2 full moons.
Captain, have you yourself ever had any dreams? Nightmares?
Me? No. I, you know, worry about our establishment, and I'm certainly, I fear for my life, and sometimes I've got dreams, but nothing just like that, I suppose. Well, I'm more interested in just making sure that this all goes away. And if you want to roll an observation check.
Okay.
You're welcome to do so.
I feel like he's hiding something.
Well, yeah. Oh,
1 success so far. Oh, 2 successes.
All right. Well, he also rolled 2 successes. So it's hard to read, but it does seem like he's given that you've already made observation checks against him and sort of seen that he's obfuscating something. It is not outside of reason that he's continuing to do so, but it does seem like he's being honest about just wanting it to go away.
Okay.
Is it only sea creatures, or is it land creatures as well? Have you had any animal attacks from dogs or cats or chickens.
Only sea creatures, as far as I know. At least that's what everybody's afraid of. I mean, there's lots of things you could be afraid of. People is one of them, but I don't think any of my men would turn against me in such a way. I never gave them cause. And your, I'm going to let your success on your observation carry, because you're sort of looking between these two people. And Vanessa, you look at Igor, and Igor seems very uncomfortable. And he says, well, Stuart, he's not. And then Captain Rayner sort of interjects immediately and says, Stuart's been addled by too much drink, and that's why he can't come in here no more. Disturbs the customers and me nieces. And
Stuart. Have we heard about Stuart before? Is that someone who's been brought up?
You have not heard about Stuart before.
I think Vanessa asks Igor,
Pardon me, but who is Stuart?
Sorry, miss. Stuart Rott. He was a deckhand with us. And he's a bit... He never quite settled. He was a fisherman, and, well, since all this started happening, there hasn't been a lot of fish, and... in fact, all of the fishermen are having trouble bringing things back. The whole town is suffering for it. So
the animal attacks, could it be related to food shortages? Is that why they are attacking humans?
I'd like to believe that's true, says Igor. Igor, like, very eager for this to be a normal reason. He seems really like a very solid type of person who doesn't want to lean into the superstitions that his captain is sort of leaning into. And he says, the fact is that sorry, Captain, but I feel it is my duty to let these ladies know that there are others in town they could talk to about this, since you're not talking to Stuart and you're not talking to Patrick. Someone has got to warn Patrick and his wife. And the captain sort of pushes up from the wall and blusters out spittle, like, coming out the sides of his face as he talks. And he's, that cabin boy is a man grown now, with a wife and a bairn of his own. He made his choices, and he doesn't concern me no more. And if he's got something to say about it, then you can just go talk to him on your own. But I won't be taking no part in any of that. And Igor sort of, like, puts his hands up and nods and just backs away from the situation, not wanting to anger him anymore.
Irina glances at Vanessa, trying to communicate that there is a lot more here than we might have time to investigate, but definitely, like, let's go and talk to this Patrick and Stuart.
Yeah.
Captain, we won't bother you much longer. We have a lot to think about and research that needs to be done before we discuss any further. But go ahead, Irina.
No, we will probably go down to the beach as well, and just to see it for ourselves, to observe these creatures and see if they have any erratic behavior around us. We thank you for your concern, and we will do our best to make sure that this problem goes away as swiftly as possible.
Before we go, was there anything that happened while you were at sea? You mentioned a storm, perhaps an incident is related, though you may not think so at the time.
The captain looks shaken by his own, like, emotional outburst, and there's comfort in the fact that you all are going to attempt to do something about this, but his eyes sort of glass over and they're shiny with, like, emotion that he doesn't want to let to the surface. And he says, my men were always good sailors when we were out there, and we stuck together out there for years, even when we were shipwrecked. Through all of it, a man goes to sea and he suffers the salt and the waves bigger than any London townhouse, and the scurvy and the endless company of dull men. also so he can make the coin to come home and be worthy of a good life when he gets back on land. All I want is mine protected. And I'll pay you finally if you can put whatever's threatening my crew to rest.
Understood. I'm sure that we will talk again soon, but for now, we will rest. I am quite tired from our journey, and we will do our own research.
So as you guys begin to withdraw from the room, Igor clears his throat and steps forward and says, "Ladies, 2 nights till the full moon." And he sort of moves over towards the captain, who's now like slumped himself into a stool. And you all are left alone to leave at your will.
Is there anything else weird happening while we make it up to our rooms? Is this where we could stay?
Yeah, are we
is
staying above the inn, or should we go the place?
So you all are, we'll say that you can stay here, yeah. He gives you a discount too, since you're working for him.
Yeah, so whenever we're back in our rooms, unless anything else happens, I think Irina, getting very paranoid about everything, she looks outside the hallway to make sure no one's listening in. Even though they have a secret language between the two of them, she still want to make sure that no one's listening. And so she says, "Well, all right. So tonight's the full moon. I think
two nights.
Sorry,
I see how you misheard that. Two nights till the full moon."
Okay, I don't know what I'm doing in this room then. We have 2 nights to party. No, we should make preparations for the full moon. I believe we should perhaps observe. We should try to observe whatever it is that's happening here. It's probably going to happen at the full moon. It's also relevant to try to figure out what this interpersonal fighting is between Stuart, Patrick, why the captain is acting weird. Even though there might be a Vassan involved, I have a sense that there's some interpersonal issues amongst the humans as well that has nothing to do with anything mystical or supernatural.
Absolutely. It was hard to read Captain Rainier. He seems genuine, no?
He seems genuine, but he also seems like a drunk.
Yes, a very proud man. I don't know.
Is Mary interested in this man?
No, I do not think so, though I will not ask. It is not my business.
No, she seemed a woman of poor taste.
That is very rude to her. She is a very
Mary Smythe's player will remember this.
Dun dun. Irina, I want your opinion on something. The nieces, they were odd, no?
Very. I am already convinced that they are some sort of sea succubi. Oh. I am attracted to them, so that's why I don't trust them.
Oh.
Because apparently what? I'm a sexist as well.
What does... You're attracted to them?
And she blushes a little bit. Did I say attract? I meant they are beautiful and... in general, I try to... There's something strange about them. She tries to backtrack.
They are certainly beautiful. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Oh, you think they're beautiful too? Yes. In that case, I do think so too.
Anyway. Yes. What time is it?
I'm getting tired.
Oh, I'm so tired.
I'm so tired. We shouldn't do anything else today. So it's about like 2 p.m. by the time you've gotten here and settled in. And so the room that you are in here is small. It's well appointed. But it isn't, it's certainly not shabby living, but it does have a window that is cracked open. And outside, you can hear passersby on the road out in front of the bay, and you can hear the sound of gulls. Mm. As you're sort of looking out there to see what time it is, you notice, as the tide is low, there is a gentleman in a long, wool coat who is waving wildly at a bunch of gulls that seem to be harrying him with a big oar and shouting up at them.
Is that man being attacked by gulls?
It would look like it. Should we go help him?
No, let's just watch. No, we should.
Irina!
I do. come with me. And she hurries over there.
So you descend that same staircase. You kind of make your... You descend that staircase. You make your way outside onto the street. And by now you see people sort of rushing by as they get to the point in the street that's closest to where he is and where his boat is sort of like turned over slightly on its side. Go ahead and roll a vigilance check here.
No success.
One success? Hold on. One plus my logic. Okay. Two successes.
Damn. All right. I was like, that's a lot of dice I hear in the background. So you are sort of trying to get a lay of the land, Irina, and figure out what's happening. But for you, Vanessa, you notice as you sort of like move to the side to take stock of what's happening, you notice first the smell, just an awful smell of salt and rot. And you see that the boat is filled with rotting jellyfish and kelp. And the gulls seem to be trying to go after it, but this man keeps trying to like bat them away, and he's muttering strange things that don't seem to make any sense. You couldn't really hear it from above, but now he's just whacking at these gulls wildly and saying, "Your threats will get you nowhere with me, devil woman! Mark my words!"
Wait, how far away is he from us now?
He's about, we'll say, like 50 feet into the bay. So, like, close enough to the sidewalk that people with their kids are like, come on, little Timmy, don't pay attention to that gentleman over there.
Can I guess, but closer?
Like, yeah. Is he on, like, a boat in the water, or?
Yeah, so keep in mind, it's low tide. So there are boats all around, but they're kind of slumped over in the sand.
Okay. So we could technically walk there without getting too wet.
Yeah. There's no It would the sand would be damp, but you could like slide down off of the rock, at the outside of the bay that normally would be where the water is, and just kind of slide down onto the beach.
Yeah, I think Vanessa kind of hikes her nun skirt dress up, and takes off her little loafers and unrolls her socks and stuffs them in the shoes and carries them and looks back at Irina, and she's like, "Come on."
Yeah, Irina gives her the most disgusted look of her entire life, then sighs and take off her shoes while looking as she's about to puke all over herself.
And I know that it probably smells like shit because it's low tide, but like,
yeah,
you know how soft that sand probably is, like that muddy, muddy, silty sand. And I think Vanessa is like, ooh, like she's loving it. She's like so free.
And you can really understand, there have been several mentions of how this is like a wonderful summer getaway for most people, and how these kids used to come out here and play. And you can start to understand like what a loss this is, not just because of the fish, but just the way that people live in this space and enjoy this space has been totally altered by everything that you've heard about going on. And as you get close, the gentleman stops swinging at the birds and he sort of turns to you, and his eyes are just bright blue. And he says, "Full fathom five, my soul it lies. Of my bones are coral made. There were pearls that were my eyes. Nothing of me that doth fade, but doth suffer a sea change into something rich and strange. Who are you?"
Is he looking at us?
Yeah, he's looking at you or through you. He notices that you're there, but this guy is unwell.
Sir, my name is Irina, and this is my friend Vanessa. We are here to help you. Are you doing all right?
He says, "I just wanted to go home. But home has changed. There's nothing for me now."
We understand, but we can help you. please, why don't you take my hand? And she extends her hand, trying to be as pleasant as possible, even though there's a huge resistance.
You begin to extend your hand, and just a wave of gulls suddenly flies between the two of you, splitting you apart, and he backs up, buffeted by their wings, and you can feel the wind that's just coming off of this flurry of gulls, and he thwacks one of them, like, roughly out of the sky with the oar, and he says, "Send no more songs, lovers! I seek no quarrel! Enough!" And there are gasps from passers-by as they scurry up the road, wanting absolutely nothing to do with this. And he picks up the gull, and he looks at it, and all the flurry of gulls sort of, like, settles on his boat, picking at the, rotting jellyfish and kelp. And he looks at you, and he says, "We knew not what we did. We was only following orders, you see. His orders!" And he points up at the lovesick siren behind you, and he looks sorrowful as the creature breathes its last breath, and there is just silence. Silence that is followed by a rising storm of caws that fill the air as the armada of these birds just begin to beat and flap and scream around him in a tornado of feathers and fury, and you watch open mouth as these gulls descend upon Stuart and make to peck out his eyes.
Oh my, what?
Let's try initiative cards.
Oh my god.
It's fine.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
Holy shit.
So
okay.
For us, yeah. let's roll d10s.
Yeah.
Okay.
I rolled shitty. 9.
3.
Okay. And all right, so Vanessa, you are first. As you watch this just storm of gulls descend on this man, covering him top to toe as they go at him. What do you do?
Okay, I don't have many weapons. I have a dagger. I'm not really about fighting. I think Vanessa, what can I do? Is there an oar nearby, or like something that I can throw to him?
So he has, like, there's his oar is, like, he's dropped it, so it's okay. It's by him in the same zone as him, but he is just too overwhelmed to pick it up, so you could pick it up.
Yeah, I think I almost just want to grab him and pull him, like, away, like pull him towards the shore.
Yeah, you could do that. Let me see here. All right, so as you grab forward and attempt to pull him away from this gull pack, we'll go ahead and roll a force.
Oh, okay. Oh boy. Not my best. That's a nothing.
The gulls sort of are like all over him. It's hard to like reach in between them and get them off of him. So you are just sort of scrambling to try to get any piece of him that you can and coming up empty. It is now the storm of gulls' turn, and they seem pretty focused on Stuart. However, they do now notice that you're trying to take away their quarry. They begin, a set of like three or four of them begin pecking at your hands as you reach forward. They don't find purchase, so you just simply find yourself sort of pushed back into the next zone by their attacks. But they do not do any damage to you, but they are successful in keeping you away from Stuart. Stuart is now going to attempt to pull himself out. No, he is totally screaming horribly. You see as blood is starting to run down his face every time these like this cloud of white birds moves, and you can see his face like he is just being ripped to shreds by these animals. Animals that you wouldn't think are terrifying, but hey, seagulls, who knew?
I knew
the whole time. So, Irina, if you know so much, what are you going to do about it?
Well, I would like to use my free action to see if I can make an observation roll to see if I, which one is the leader, if there's a leader of the pack of the seagulls.
A leader of the gulls?
Yep.
I love you.
I feel like it could be like a top hen or something.
Okay.
Top hen. All right. Go ahead and roll an observation to try to figure out what's going on.
I guess vigilance is better, right? If it's perception, perception.
Vigilance, yeah, vigilance is your perception, yeah. And your observation is more like insight. Like, why are these things happening the way that they are?
Let's do vigilance. Vigilance to see if
let's go ahead with vigilance.
One success.
One success, amazing. So you are just seeing animal rage here, but you're casting about for just like what you can do about this or how to put this to an end, and something catches your eye. Far away, hundreds of feet away, you see a figure standing at the edge of the bay on the rocks. And the light is sort of casting down at her. She's standing at the edge of the rocks, peering at you with long, dark, wet hair. And she appears to be naked. And as soon as she sees that you have seen her, it's like she was never there at all.
Okay. Irina sees this, immediately starts thinking about every freaking theory she might have about who's causing this and what's the reasoning behind it. She coldly takes her revolver and aims at the seagull that's attacking Vanessa and shoots, and shoots, but it's like in cold blood, and then so two successes. So all I'm gonna do extra damage, so three damage instead of two.
Okay, so your shots land and there are just plumes of feathers that go exploding out from these almost like close range shots, because you're right sort of behind Vanessa as you do this, right?
Yeah, so I think the way I imagine it, she would like walk up and like shoot the bird that's attacking Vanessa, not really worrying about Stuart as much, and be like, Vanessa, we need to hurry away from here.
Yeah, so you you are able to do this, and your words are heard as you are just on the outskirts of this carnage, and you are doing work on this storm of gulls, for sure. It is now Vanessa's turn, once again.
Yeah, I think... She hears Irina, and she's like, I know! And I think she's going to... not very strong. I think she's just gonna try to grab him again and pull him out of like the tornado, at least of vortex of gulls.
Go ahead and roll a force check again. Try to drag him out.
Nope. Fuck. Okay.
Irina's gonna start shouting, there's nothing you can do for him. He's cursed. We need to get out of here now.
Yeah. So as you say this, and Vanessa, you're just like, your heart goes out to this horrible man, like this horrible situation. Maybe not a horrible man. You don't really know. But
unknown
status of horribleness, unknown. But you are just desperate. I mean, who wouldn't be desperate to try and help somebody out of that situation? But you are finding it harder and harder as these gulls are just coming up with streaks of sanguine on their feathers. Like, everything is terrible. People on the shoreline are screaming and terrified, and he begins to try to drag himself away. You see the pits that were his eyes streaming with blood. You see horrible abrasions and marks on his arm. His jacket is nearly being ripped off by these creatures as they peck down at him, and he drags himself towards you as Irina is trying to help you realize that it is time to leave, and he is at almost the end. We're going to give Stuart a chance here to try and drag himself away from these gulls. This is going to suck. Yeah. And he says, it's not even the full moon. I can't get out. And then he just relaxes into it, and these soulless pits stare forward, chin on the sand, as he's totally overtaken by these creatures.
Oh.
Now, you all, what do you do? Because we can remain in initiative if you'd like. Irina, it is your turn next. What do you want to do? Stuart is dead.
Irina tries again to grab Vanessa. Vanessa, listen to me. There's nothing you can do for him. We need to get out of here. We need to get out of here right now. Please, come with me. And she continues to aim at the birds with surprisingly good aim and cold-bloodedness, as she's very used to using a revolver.
Yeah, go for it.
Just one success, so another two damn.
All right, so another two damn. Two more gulls are wrenched from the sky and from their dark work as you are starting to try to pull Vanessa further away. The gulls are beginning to withdraw from the body at this point. Vanessa, what would you like to do?
Yeah, I think Vanessa is seeing this, like, horrible death of this guy. She's shocked, mostly because, like, this was done by an animal. Like, the Vassin are one thing, but this was just, like, crazy primal animal shit. And I think she's, like, so taken aback. And she reaches out for Irina and finds her hand as she's, like, staring forward at this guy, and she starts to run away. Like, she's moving away back towards the shore.
So you guys scramble up the beach and back up onto the, stone side of the bay there. Just kind of, like, your whole lower legs covered in this silty sand from the action out there, and your faces agape at this scene. The gulls are now picking at the corpse of Stuart, and some of them are starting to fly away, but it seems that they've gotten what they want, and you start to hear sirens as a police car pulls up and men start pouring out and storming down the beach to try and see what's happened. We need to watch.
Irina drags Vanessa away from there. We can't draw attention to ourselves. We need to get out of here right now before people start noticing that we might have anything to do with this.
You're right. I know.
And Vanessa, like, starts to compose herself and walk briskly, but, like, normally, not, like, screaming, running down, I guess, like, the like, boardwalk or pier, cliffside, whatever, to get back, like, to town.
Yeah, you peel off down one of these streetways into the town. All sorts of, you know, stone buildings, like nothing more than two stories, but most things like only one story. And the roads become, this is a very old and like very small town. Like everything's very cobblestoned and difficult to navigate, and everything looks like everything else because you're new here. And you find yourself in a dark, like, alley kind of behind a house, and breathlessly you sort of take each other in.
Are you all right?
Yes, I'm okay. Thank you for pulling me back. I was... That poor man.
I come from the same background as you. I know how hard it is to give up on it, so to speak, but it's a skill you have to practice if you want to do this type of work.
I guess I don't like to fail people.
I would not consider you ever to be a failure, or for you to be able to fail anyone, but it's a hard line of work, this, and why are you here, Vanessa? Why are you doing this?
I don't know. I want to help people, and I've always been different, for better or for worse, and I'm trying to choose for better.
Do you still believe in God?
She kind of shrugs. I believe in the power that God has, but to define a singular entity as a ruler over all things seems impossible now with what I know and what I have seen. But I have not lost faith, if that is your question.
That makes me glad. We should hurry back, but I would just want you to know that when in doubt, do the best you can, but there's no shame in realizing when it's time to leave. You're not a failure, and I will always be by your side. As long as we are on this mission, she qualifies.
Then Vanessa kind of like smirks as she says that second part. And she says,
you know, your voice is much nicer when you talk like this and not the way that you talk in front of other people. You should just talk like this. You have a beautiful voice, Arina.
Vanessa, you know that's not why I need to be invisible. It's the part of my job. I have many people who know me as many different people, many different characters. I'm sure you understand that. We play different roles depending on who we are with.
Man, I really wish Mary Smythe was here. You two would get along really great. She does really, really good accents and has a whole wardrobe of wigs. And you would have a really fun time. She's got scarves, many scarves. And as like she just keeps talking, like she's trying to change the subject but can't think of anything else to say. And she's like, she's got shoes. And what size are you? Maybe your feet are smaller, but if you were to try on her shoes, and maybe if you could squeeze, like she just can't.
Irina is so shocked by this like nervous behavior of Vanessa, because she has always looked up to Vanessa and feel like the one who always put her foot in her mouth. So for Vanessa to start blabbering on, Irina is first like, what are you talking about? It's tasteless to use wigs for a character. But then it's like, then she realizing that, wait, Vanessa is nervous?
And I think purposefully I make my way towards the church, just because I wanna investigate there eventually today. But
yeah, so you kind of catch your breath and are talking, and in the wake of this horrible thing that you've seen, you find yourselves walking down the streets, and suddenly you just naturally make your way to the highest point in town, and on this hill there is a church. Small, nothing too ostentatious, just ostentatious. Nothing too ostentatious, just a small stone, humble church. Humble like the faith you've just described. Nothing more than it needs to be.
Irina looks at it. I wonder if I'm still invited.
There's only one way to find out.
And Vanessa pushes her through the front door.
Yeah.
Like, ah!
The gate burns up. Creaks open. And you, the two of you, return to faith for a moment of peace before the next terrible thing befalls you, which may happen in our next episode.
Bye.
Oh, shit.
Why are you